Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Top of the 1 o'clock hour in our nation's capital. We'll take you up to 3 p.m. right here on 106.7 The Fan. We're also simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. You're tapped into the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. You can tweet at me. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP, talking all things RFK 2.0 at the moment. As we roll throughout the program coming up here this afternoon, we will get into some football, I promise, some X's and O's on the Washington Commanders. Post-draft power rankings have been released. Where do the Commanders sit as we get geared up for the start of rookie minicamp, mandatory OTAs? It's all on tap over the next couple of weeks. We will take a look ahead coming up here momentarily. Right now, though, I want to continue to take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. I continue to believe, and I've had enough time to think about this. I've had enough time to, you know, get all the facts and the information on this. I long believed that, you know, it was not a smart investment by DC to pour money into this stadium, right? I thought, before we got these numbers, I was moving with the assumption of, damn, are they going to have to fork out 50% of the deal like we saw New Orleans have to do? Are they going to have to fork out 70% of the deal like we saw the residents of Nashville have to do? I thought if that was the case, ain't no damn way I want that stadium here. But Josh Harris and company put their money where their mouths is. This is something that's important to them, so they're putting the burden on their shoulders, going, you know what? We want the stadium back, so we're going to pay for it. The current offer that's on the table is the Commanders forking over $2.7 billion, meaning it would be a 24-76 split in terms of how much the D.C. taxpayer is paying and how much the Commanders are forking out. We've let you hear from Charles Allen. We've let you hear from Phil Mendelson. Both council members currently feel like there isn't enough support amongst the council members to push this vote through. Why? Because they feel like the Commanders should be giving out even more money. I think they're out their rabbit-ass mind and they're Kanye crazy for this. One of the last callers made an astute point, and I told you when I hung up with him, I'm going to keep using his slogan. Put it on a damn T-shirt. It would be one of the biggest bag fumbles in D.C.'s history if they turn down this proposal from the Commanders. Right now, D.C. will be asked to give out $1.1 billion in taxpayer money. You're going to make that money back and then some quickly when you consider how many people are going to be coming to these games, what the surrounding areas are going to look like. I'm all for it now that I know the financial details. Josh Harris and company should not be asked to give out even more money.
Talk about maybe having an Olympics here, like all kinds of stuff.
The
World Cup, like
the breakdancing.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Could you imagine imagine us being front row breakdancing? Man, when you put me, I think it was this past summer. I didn't even believe you. I didn't even believe you when I was. Chris was like, "Yo, I got something to show you. We got to talk about this." And it is these. I think it was a boy versus girl battle. Breakdancing female, she had the do-rag on, she took it off as a part of her act. It was It was gnarly. It's the best.
It's pretty entertaining.
It is, bro. Yeah. It is. Because I think we sleep on like the core strength that's needed for like dance and some of the other sports, man. So I think it's huge, though. Hopefully, me and Metal Chris can be front row at the next Olympics, watching breakdance and up close in person right here in the D.C. area. Let's go to Ben in Silver Spring. Ben, who is in the wrong here? Are the Commanders being cheap, or is D.C. being greedy?
The problem is we're dealing with apples and oranges. The city is not getting anything. The football team is getting the infrastructure required so that they can build their stadium. The problem is, you guys know sports real well, but what you don't know real well is capitalization of urban products, of projects. One of the biggest problems is you're talking about the billions are getting back, but that's billions on the gross to the government and the businesses. In reality, the net that will come back to the government is going to be less than 4% per year of that gross. The payback for that $1 billion, if it's capitalized, is going to be at least 50 years, which is going to be longer than the lifetime of the stadium itself. This happens over and over again in other cities also. One of the problems is you take a look at information from on the money side from the people who are trying to back up the private businesses. What you really need to do also to get some balance is to maybe talk to some people at either University of Maryland or George Mason who have urban development departments within their schools of architecture. And they can come back and tell you exactly why these sports deals never make the return on investment.
That's very true, Ben. That's very true. So I agree with that wholeheartedly, and I'll be real with you, Ben. I've kind of flipped my stance on this once I realized how much money the Commanders are willing to fork out. I had long thought it would be irresponsible, knowing all the issues that exist in D.C., for taxpayer money to go towards that. Ben, I ride the Metro to work every day. They've replaced transit police with armed security. So I get it.
It's not that it's irresponsible. It's that we want the stadium because we want the stadium. We shouldn't be using the payback as the thing. The other thing that happens also we don't realize is of that $1 billion, if the stadium doesn't go in there, how much is the city going to invest in recapitalizing that area? It might be $850,000. In reality, the only money they're allocating to the stadium for the redevelopment of that area is 15% of the billion, because $800,000 is going to go so private industry can build those 6,000 units, build new restaurants, build the parks up. So you got to be real careful with this. In reality, my attitude is, we want the stadium because we want the stadium, damn it. The hell with the payback. Let's be real.
Way to be honest about it, Ben. I appreciate you as always, brother.
Enjoy your weekend. Thanks for letting me talk today.
Yes, sir. Enjoy your weekend, brother, okay? 1-800-636-1067. I like the way the last caller put it. We want the stadium because we want the damn stadium. Point blank. And I think that has been the case. I don't think fans or even the government is trying to posture this as, oh, the return on investment, though. Like, I just don't think that's the way this thing is ultimately being postured and angled to this point. I think there's been a lot of transparency from Mayor Bowser, and I completely, you know, am in favor of how she's handling this thing. I just think at the end of the day, you're not going to please everybody, but I do think that there are two sides to the coin as always. Yes, I think it's a great investment opportunity for the city. I also think the folks that are not in favor of the deal, right? I think the folks that are not in favor of the deal also should be allowed to voice their opinion and honestly have their questions answered, because there are a lot of questions out there. It's not like, you know, you're dropping a Starbucks on Half Street. You're building an entire NFL stadium, or excuse me, sports and entertainment Taj Mahal. 1-800-636-1067. More of your calls on this next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
one 800 636 1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We're live on the Fan. We're also simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. I'll take you up to 3 o'clock. Nats baseball comes your way later on tonight, 6:10. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up with Nats on deck. 6:40 is the first pitch as the Nats in Reds look to lock horns. A lot more to get to before we get out of here. In the final hour of Power, at about 2 o'clock, we'll be joined by our pal Matt Sims of the Believe Podcast Network. We get his thoughts on the NFL draft and talk all things quarterback with my guy Matt Sims. Always love catching up with him, one of the absolute best. He actually co-hosts the podcast, Metal Chris, with Phil Sims. So it's his daddy. So Matt Sims, the son of Phil Sims, New York Giants legendary quarterback, going to join the program coming up at 2 o'clock right now. I want to continue to take your calls on whose line is it anyway? It's the best way that I could put it. Whose money is it anyway? Who's the issue right here? Is DC being greedy or are the Commanders being cheap? I happen to feel like the Commanders are not being cheap and that DC is being a little greedy. When you look at the deal that they're being presented relative to the other deals that have been given out across the United States when it comes to these sports stadiums, the Commanders are cutting the D.C. government a tremendous deal, and if they do not take it, if they do not capitalize on it, I think it could be one of the biggest blunders in the history of the city. David is in Waldorf. David, is D.C. being greedy or are the Commanders being cheap?
Man, let me tell you, I'm so happy that you had me on hold because I was fired up and pissed off. A couple of calls, but I needed that time to cool the hell out, man.
We got you, David. We got you.
Hey, look, man, no, the Washington, I don't think it's a matter of greed, right? I mean, Josh and those guys have put a sweet deal on the table. We're going to take it. You know, the dude calling up talking about, you know, I've been invested in D.C. for 15 years, he pissed me off, too. I've been in D.C. my entire life. I'm 65. I've seen the ups and the downs and the sideways ways. He don't know what I know about D.C. And what I know is the deal's going to get done. You're absolutely right. These councilmen are going to fight tooth and nail for everything they can get to support their constituents, and they rightfully should. Right. They'll get their parks. They'll get whatever they want. It's not about, your other caller made the point, it's not about the return on the dollar from the investment. It's about what moves the city forward as an international destination, and this is what it's all about. That's all I got to say. I appreciate you, brothers.
Yes, peace. Indeed, man. David, I appreciate you. Enjoy your weekend, man. 1-800-636.
What a great caller, guys. What a great caller.
I'm glad he got to I wish I would have put him on earlier. I wanted to hear the fired up version. If that was the tamed down
version. I heard a bit of that before we went on air.
I was about to say, lucky you, man. That would have been something. Look, I think we all agree. I just think there's too many people in favor of the deal for it not to get done. I think everybody wants it. It's been that way. I have long said, and I'm going to sound like a broken record here, I never really cared where the stadium was going to go. If it was going to go in D.C., I needed it to be a situation where Josh Harrison Company footed a majority of the bill. And when I referenced that, I was talking about like a 60-40 split. Josh Harris said, hold on, young Nell. Hold my beer, brother. Not only am I going to do you better than 60-40, I'm going to do you 76-24. That's a bad deal. And when I say bad, it's a good bad, older people out there. It's a fire deal that the Commanders are putting on the table here. And I think for Josh Harris, if I was him, I would still continue to work with DC as much as I can. Because like I said, he's known right now as the owner of the Commanders. First and foremost, I don't think we can recall a better 12 to 18 months on the job as a new owner than, or really we're getting close to 2 years on the job as a new owner than what we saw from Josh Harris. Turning around the football product, getting the fan base reinvigorated, finding the proper leaders, and now you've got this brilliant proposal on the table. If the DC government is going to ask for Josh to pay, if it's 2.7, say they ask him to get to $3 billion, that's a couple hundred million dollars. That's a lot of damn money. I'm making it seem like it's small pennies, but it's not. The thing I keep saying about Josh Harris, man, and he has got a tremendous opportunity at the table right now, because not only is he going to be loved for turning around the football program, he has a chance to be loved long after Jaden Daniels, you know, throws his final touchdown, long after – you know, Dorrance Armstrong gets his final sack. He's got the chance to have D.C. residents, you know, look at him as a cult hero because of what he's going to be able to do to that RFK area over there, revitalizing it and creating opportunities for folks.
So, now I got to ask, though, what do you think, because we haven't really heard anyone talk about, what do you think about these PSLs, the personal seat licenses they've been talking about, which they have said will be a part of this deal? And it's something we as D.C. sports fans have not encountered before.
I honestly don't know, like, what that is. I saw it, obviously, because I'm paying attention to what's going on. I'm like, what the hell is a seat license?
It's an extra fee.
Oh, so you see how they dress it up all cute and whatnot? Personal seat license.
So we were talking about this. I was doing some Rooster shows recently. We were talking about this the other day, and the way I kind of thought of it is, like, how, you know, when you get, like, a new apartment, and then you got to, like, buy the parking spot from like someone else. It's not the guy that you rent the apartment from or whatever. It's like some dude already owns the parking space that you need to now use, and you have to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that. It's kind of how I look at this. It's like, so you now it's all going to be coming from the Commander's, you know, side or whatever, but it's just you know, here's the rent and this is what the utilities are going to be. Oh yeah, and also now your parking is going to cost this much, and it's just like another a thing you got to fork over, kind of. You know what I mean? And
for sure.
And you might not really want to, but if and apparently it's really going to be for season ticket holders mostly.
Okay. So people that already have.
So the idea is that, like, you will essentially lock in your seats. And so I was kind of trying to figure out, nobody seemed to have a great answer. I mean, the deal's not done yet, but if you were to, say, buy your PSL for whatever section and row and seat numbers you have, would that now apply, like, hey, when Metallica's coming to town,
I get
here,
to go right, like, there.
Do I still have those seats, or are those, and apparently it's only for the sporting events. It is not going to be, because, like, well, you know, like, if your company owns a box, right, and, like, you're like, oh, yeah, we got a box at the arena, so you can go to a Caps game, but you can also go see the Ice Capades in that box if you want, or whatever. You know, right. It's like.
It sounds like a bunch of fun that I don't have enough money for.
Man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely sounds like another way to charge more, which I don't know.
Let's go. Yeah, it's tough. Let's go to Tim in Tawnytown. What's going on, Tim?
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. I just want to say that ever since the district got control of the land from Congress, I have not heard of other developers running to the mayor's office to propose a development that will take in this acreage. It's a situation where no one has come forward and said, well, you know, I went to the mayor and proposed this. I think if this is turned down, I think that land will stay vacant for a very long time. And anything they come up with at Plan B, they will have to spend, meaning the city, will have to spend $1 billion on infrastructure alone. So my memo to the city council is, what's your plan B? What's the deal here?
If it falls through, you're saying, like, what's plan B
if it falls through? What is the alternative to generate revenue for the city? We haven't heard, you know, a developer such as the Learners going to the city council and say, we wish to do this, this, and this.
The Learners been not asked for any more money. That stadium was built for free.
No, but I'm just saying a developer hasn't apparently run to the city that I have read or heard on the news to say, you know, we offered this, we offered that, and we got turned down. So the city council, in my opinion, yes, I think they need to maybe tweak the deal some to maybe make it a little more revenue for the city. But if this falls through, I think it's just going to be a big bungled mistake.
Yeah. I feel the same way, honestly, Tim, and I appreciate the call, brother, man. Enjoy your weekend, okay? Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. What's going on, Chris? How you doing, man?
How you doing, Noel? Listen, everybody on the station keeps bringing up the percentage and how no other franchise has covered such a high percentage of these recent deals. Well, first of all those other deals are terrible. So you shouldn't be comparing yourself to those other municipal deals because they're terrible. But second of all, let's say you and I are throwing a bachelor party for our friend.
Yeah, hell of
and
a party.
And I say, hey, right, you know it. And I say, hey, I'm going to cover 70% of the cost. All you got to do is fork in 30%. Or I'm going to cover 80%. You say, all right, that's a good deal, bet, right? Mm-hmm. But then I didn't tell you that I reserved the Ritz-Carlton and we're going to have cases of Cristal and dancers and,
how much is the
Travis
percentage?
Scott is performing. And then I say, oh, by the way, here's your bill for 30%. It's, you know, $1 billion. Right. You're like, wait a minute.
Hold on. Okay? Right. Okay.
This is still the largest investment by a city in a new stadium overall. It doesn't matter. Who cares how much Harris is putting in money because he wants to make money. It's his fault he wants a super expensive stadium. And you know, these stadiums, they do not make revenue. So stop lying about it. Just be honest and say, we're building this because
we want it
as a city. We have civic pride and nostalgia and a lot of personal investment in having this franchise in our town. The mayor wants to do it because she can't effectively get anything else done.
Yeah.
It's easy to build a stadium. It's hard to bring down crime. It's hard to fix schools. Okay, so instead of doing that, it's hard to replace all the jobs that are being cut by Doge. Okay, it's hard to fix that those problems. It's easy to build a fancy stadium. So she's doing that. That's what's going on here.
So, Chris, let me ask you this. Let's just say the number, because right now is, what is it? It's 76-24. Say it moves to 80-20, Chris. How quickly do you think they could possibly get the return on investment? Or do you just think that there's no
shot? Never.
At it?
You know why? Because guess what happens? What happens 15, 20 years from now? Oh, our stadium is old and obsolete compared to this new stadium. We need $500 million, just like Ted Leontis just did. That's why these things never make out, because the owners always have the leverage. They use the local fan base's sentimentality and loyalty to the team to overrule politicians and to force politicians into bad policy.
I'm just glad, Chris, and I appreciate you as always, brother, man. I'm glad because you're right. The deal in Nashville, first of all, Chris, you know the damn Titans don't win diddly poo. So for their government to go ask them to fork out 70% of the cost, I'd be a mad you know what, Chris. I appreciate you as always, man. Enjoy your weekend.
All right.
1-800-636-1067. Jim is in Tyson's. Wants to chime in. What's going on, Jimbo?
Hey, man, I love your show, by the way. You really got game, and I really learn a lot, and I enjoy how
I appreciate you
respect
man.
People. Real quick, I've been a long-term, I'm in my late 50s. My folks were season ticket holders in the bleachers, believe it or not. And
okay.
I support the deal. No, so I just was given that preface because I go back. And I made the mistake of buying the club tickets many years ago. I got sold. I was marketed to, and I bought them.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I support the stadium deal 100%. But I think one thing as fans and as the media, there has to be some kind of really careful watching of the actual, and I don't know the fee you mentioned, the subscription fee, because this is really going to change who you see in the stadium. You're not going to see as many young people anymore. What it's going to do, it's going to be just like the club tickets. Mm. It's going to raise the actual price. And then when the people on the secondary markets and people go, they're going to take portion of the fee and they're going to transfer it onto the ticket. So you're not going to have as many young people investing in season tickets in the lower bowl, because the bottom line, there'll be a premium on that fee.
Right.
And you'll have a ticket that will go for $140 a game to all of a sudden it's $195.
Whew.
So I think, no, that's,
yeah.
I mean,
no, I hear you.
I can walk you through what happened when I was in section 111 and I went to 337. And at the time, too, the companies were really excited until they realized they couldn't deduct the actual the club fee. They only could deduct the cost of the ticket. Mm. So it's very complicated, but I'm concerned that we have to really be vigilant on this, because I think it could really change, you know, those young people, the jerseys, you know, on the lower bowl.
Yeah,
all
for
of
sure.
a sudden. Yeah, I'm sorry. All of a sudden, you can have a different look and a different feel. And I don't think anybody wants that.
I agree. And I think that's, Jim, I don't think anyone's come at it from that angle in terms of, well, what type of people do you want in the stadium, right? I didn't get the chance to go to any games over the past couple of years because we do the in-game show while the game's happening. But I know how rowdy it was last year at Northwest, and all the respect in the world to the older fan base, Jim. But that was people my age that was in there filling that stadium up, going crazy. And you're saying in this new stadium, because of the, you know, kind of state of the economy, the job market, maybe people can't afford to get into the new stadium. It's a very interesting proposition, man.
Because I completely agree. At the Chicago game, when that place went crazy, you looked around, it was all young people, 25 to 30, jumping up and down. And that's what we need as a fan base. So this transfers. And so, I totally agree. We've got to be very vigilant on this and make sure our voices are heard. So we have the young people and the real fans and the D.C. natives at the game.
For sure. Jim, I appreciate you as always, brother. Enjoy your weekend, man.
1-800. Thank you so
much. Yes, sir. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I'll put a bow on RFK 2.0 as we get geared up for a little football talk next here on The Fan. The number. Right here on The Fan. We're also simulcasted on our sister station, Team 980 as well. And that's baseball. That's baseball coming your way a little bit later on this afternoon. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up beginning at 6:10 with Nats on Deck. Really appreciate all the calls. Metal Chris, appreciate your insight on RFK 2.0. It just feels like there are a lot of differing opinions on this. I'm glad that I will say this, right, Chris, and you've been in here with me on multiple weekends and nights when we have the name conversation. People are a lot more friendly about the stadium conversation than they are about the name conversation.
Yeah, I think so.
For sure. So
wait till we have to figure out what we want to call the new stadium, though, right?
Oh, gosh. I thought it was just going with RFK 2.0.
I mean, who knows?
What if they name it?
Originally, they used to call it the Cooker, what they call, you know, FedEx and the Northwest or whatever.
Because of
Jack Cook. In the first season before it was sponsored, everyone just called it the Cooker. You know, that's what we called it for like a season, and then it all got changed under Snyder and whatever. But I don't know. I figured like we could have a cool name if we wanted or something, you know? I don't know.
I'm trying to think here, because that would be. I was trying to obviously include Josh Harris's name, but Harris is. It's not too much fun stuff you can do with that.
The Hog Stadium
2.0. The
Hog Heaven.
Hogs Heaven.
Hog Heaven. Something like that. I feel like that would be like a section of like a stadium.
Yeah,
like, you know,
where the hog farmers sit.
You remember the Hoggettes?
I've seen
those guys at all the games at RFK. Man,
I'm trying to think, Chris, because right now it's Northwest Stadium. It's the Bank. I like the nickname, calling it the Bank, even though M&T Bank is the Bank. But I liked ours better. For RFK 2.0, why don't we call it the Nostalgia Dome? Like, because that's all this is about, is nostalgia. And I get it. I'm excited.
correct me if I'm wrong here, if you like get what I'm saying. I'm excited to see people excited.
Sure, sure.
If that like makes sense, because I see how worked up everyone gets about it. I'll pull the curtain back for you all.
They call it the glass. They're having a glass roof, right? The glass house or something like
the
that.
The glass,
you know?
House, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Welcome
right?
to the yeah. glass house.
But you know what they say: a man who lives in glass house must dress in basement.
That's very, very yeah. true. That is very, very true. Damn, Chris, that's a good idea. You got my brain churning. That's all I can think about now is what the hell do we call this thing? I was always thinking RFK 2.0. The Nostalgia Dome is just kind of corny, but you get what I'm saying. The Glass House sounds badass. I
yeah,
can't
it sounds
lie.
Cool, right?
The Glass House. Or the House on the Water.
Yeah, but I feel like we have like
is
Three Rivers Stadium.
The
like there's like, I don't know, there's already.
There's like water right next to it, right? So what about like the house?
The whole trail has like all those bridges you can see the stadium from still.
Call it the House on the Water, maybe?
Yeah, just, I don't know, with things like Three Rivers Stadium and
damn
stuff.
Damn it, look,
like,
Chris, I can't get anything better than the Glass House, so bear with me. The House on the Water, the Glass House. We'll see if this caller on line one has an idea. We'll get to Mitch in New Jersey once he chimes in. What's going on, Mitch? There's someone on one, too, Chris.
How's it going, buddy?
What's
nice
going on,
to
Mitch?
Be a long time.
How you doing, Mitch?
Doing pretty good. I know I could be a pain, you know, where on social media. I don't blame you. Give me block. I only get myself in trouble, you know?
Yeah, I
you
got
don't have
you.
Any good,
you.
If you don't have anything good to say,
don't say anything at all.
My mom always told me.
I dig it. That's a good adage.
My mom always said, lazy people work twice as hard.
You know what I'm
and
saying?
I see you work very hard.
I appreciate
it. But you work hard in a good way. You
I
work
appreciate
smarter,
it.
Not harder.
I appreciate it.
It's great that they wish they never let go of this thing, let it fall apart. Don't ask for more money. Don't push your luck.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it can't be built under 5 years. And to me, I would love to see, in the meantime, and I hate this name, Commanders, could they play with the Terps play in Maryland or even with the Ravens share stadium?
You're talking about while it's getting built?
Yeah, why is it being built? Oh, just get out of there.
So the lease, Mitch, you know, they extended the lease on Northwest.
They signed the contract.
Yeah, huh. So they did extend that lease, but I don't know if the timeline doesn't work out though, Mitch. I think you may be in business there. You can play at Maryland. Georgetown's got a really nice football stadium. It'll be interesting. Mitch, I appreciate you as always, brother, man. Enjoy the weekend.
Have a nice weekend.
Yes, sir. Hope to hear from you soon. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Josh in Culpeper. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, not too much, man. I just hear the conversation. I wanted to reach out and give my 2 cents.
Mm-hmm.
I got to play on the new name, man. Hog Heaven, all that stuff makes a lot of sense. I love it. But the Command Center makes a lot of sense.
But that's the show. They have the show, the Command Center, Josh.
I hear you, but the Command Center.
I hear that, though. I can dig that. I can dig that. What'd you think about the House on the Water, Josh?
I have no input there. I just heard what y'all were talking about. I just wanted to throw out a Command Center, man.
I like Command Center
better
than the water.
I wish y'all the best.
So I appreciate you, Josh. So the reason I was saying no to the Command Center is because that the Commander's main show on YouTube is titled The Command Center. Like they,
sure.
And that name is so easy to throw around. Nick and Annandale. What you got, Nick?
Yeah, no, I was just thinking there was a viral picture going around making everything look like a Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
But just given the roots of RFK, the Kennedy Coliseum would be a cool name.
The Kennedy Coliseum. Okay. Where'd you get the Coliseum thing from, Nick?
It was on Instagram.
Okay.
It was just trying to like tie into the roots of DC, like in all our, you know, modern classic architecture.
Yeah. Okay. I can dig it. Appreciate your call as always, brother. Enjoy the weekend. We'll take a quick time out when we come back. If you have any calls or any thoughts on potential RFK 2.0 name, we'll take it. The Commander's win total, or the power rankings, rather, post-draft were released by NFL.com. We'll tell you where the burgundy and gold sit next. About an hour and change left to go here on this Saturday afternoon with the youngest in charge, Lanelle Willingham. I'll take you up to 3 o'clock. We're simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. You can check us out on the Always Live and free Odyssey app as well. Nats baseball coming up a little bit later on tonight, so make sure you keep it live and local all afternoon long. It is a 6:40 first pitch pregame coverage with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get going at 6:10 right here on the radio network of the Washington Nationals. I guess it's the Washington Nationals radio network. I said it backwards, Chris. Cry me a river.
A little dyslexic today.
You know, at times. At times. But I will say this about the Washington Commanders is we just wrapped up a bunch of really good discussion about RFK 2.0 and what folks are thinking about. I will say this, though, right? I think it's a matter of when, not if, in terms of this new Commander Stadium. I think it's a when, not an if. At some point, like I continue to say, Josh Harris will be remembered and talked about as a cult hero here in D.C. Right now, there are going to be some folks that think he's asking for too much money from the district. If you feel that way, I think you're crazy. There are also going to be some folks that feel like the D.C. is being greedy and not being fair when it comes to this. Bottom line is the deal that the Commanders put on the table for D.C., I mean, sugarcane sweet. That's the best way that I can describe it. I hope that it ultimately gets done because I think it'll prove to be great for the city and its residents and Metro riders like me who are tired of seeing the fat armed security guards that they replace transit police with. You familiar with that, Chris? That's a whole ridiculous thing.
I do ride the Metro as well. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
They went from transit police. Think about how much training you got to go through to be a cop for Metro to putting, and it's no offense to the obese community. I'm a big boned fella myself. Ain't no way you throwing an orange vest on my ass to give me a pistol and feeling safe. That's it. It's just not the case. Just not the case. Real quick here, NFL.com dropped their post-draft power rankings. It's always interesting to me. It's my favorite time of year. Draft grades coming out. And right now, for a long time for us, Chris, as Commanders fans, this was the time of year post-draft where you had the most optimism. You're 0-0. All of your, you know, self-created pipe dreams are realistic still.
Maybe they won't know we're terrible yet.
Maybe they won't know we don't have a quarterback and haven't had one for 25 years. Maybe they won't realize our owner is a... Sorry.
Those days are gone.
Josh Harris made a lasting impression on us. I'll never forget. Were you working? You were working that day when he decided to just buy
he
all of his
beer.
Brewers. Yeah, I was about to say when he decided to buy all
of his
beers.
Yeah, I was working over the bullpen. We had a big event over there. I know some of the guys were Grant and Danny out at Old Ox Brewery, but I was out at the big event at the bullpen.
So was I.
Yeah, man. I went over there and he bought me a beer. It was great. It was right around when I was getting off work, and then he called up, and I was like, all right, I'm going to go get me one.
Hopefully, well, the better the Commanders play, the more beers Josh Harris will ultimately buy for everyone.
Let me just say, that single beer that he bought me that day is more than Dan Snyder ever gave me anything.
Well, for sure.
You know, and here's the thing. Going to games as a kid, I used to get handouts all the time. They used to have freebies. You get hats and seat cushions and all kinds of stuff, you know, just for going to the games, you know, like the first 10,000 in or whatever thing. And Snyder put an end to that real quick. And that one beer Josh Harris got me was more than anything that Snyder ever gave me, so...
So kudos to the fans. Kudos to Josh Harris. One thing that'll allow Josh Harris to buy more beers and do more public acts of kindness is that the Commanders continue to win. Right now, NFL.com post-draft has them ranked as the sixth best team in all of the National Football League. You know how rare and weird this feels? First of all, our draft coverage, Metal Chris, you did a tremendous job the other night with us on the draft. Our draft coverage even felt weird because it's like, damn, show's almost over. We still haven't picked yet. It's the same way I feel looking at these power rankings.
We didn't even know we were going to pick because they could have traded back.
For sure. It's the same way I feel about these power rankings now, seeing how high folks have Washington ranked. NFL.com's got them ranked sixth. Fox.com, Fox Sports has them ranked sixth. And it's like, damn, everyone's still drinking the Commander's Kool-Aid. It ain't gotten too sweet yet to this point.
Nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, their win total set at 10.5, if I'm not mistaken. Obviously, they won 12 in the regular season a year ago. Chris, I love the way you put it. There is no way to go but up. I love the 5 draft picks that they brought in. Still doing my homework and my research on the undrafted free agents that they brought in and how they could potentially help as well. But bottom line is this, the Commanders in a much better state now than what they were a year ago this time. NFL.com has them as the sixth best team entering 2025. Final hour of power coming up right here on The Fan and the Team 980. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll go out to the guest hotline for the first time this show. Matt Sims, son of former New York Giants legend Phil Sims, joins us next right here on The Fan.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.